Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cyient Q2 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Agarwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the Cyient Limited's earnings call for the second quarter of financial year 2020, ended September 30, 2019. I am Ajay Agarwal, President and CFO. Present with me on this call are our Executive Chairman, Mr. Mohan Reddy, and Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Krishna Bodanapu. Before we begin, I would like to make the customary statement that some of the statements made in today's discussions may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in an investor update and has been emailed to you and is posted on our corporate website as well. This call is accompanied with the usual earnings presentation. The details of the same have already been shared with you. I now invite our Chairman to provide a brief overview of the company's performance for the quarter ended September 30, 2019.
Thank you, Ajay. Good evening to all of you, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you all to this conference call. Let me take you through the highlights for the current quarter. We posted a quarterly revenue of 1,158.9 crores. This signifies a growth of 6.4% quarter-on-quarter basis and a degrowth of 2.4% year-on-year. In US dollar terms, we posted revenue of $164.2 million, which translates into a growth of 4.9% on a quarter-on-quarter basis and a degrowth of 2.8% year-on-year. Services revenue is at $140.4 million, which signifies a growth of 1.8% quarter-on-quarter and 2.6% in constant currency and a degrowth of 3.8% year-on-year. The EBIT for the quarter stood at 1,110 million rupees or 111 crores. The group EBIT margins stood at 9.6% for the quarter, which translates to a margin expansion of 35 basis points on a quarter-on-quarter basis and 169 basis points margin contraction on a year-on-year basis. Excluding one-offs and adjustments, our normalized margins stood at 12.3% for the group. Net profit for the quarter stood at rupees 98.5 crores, which translates to quarter-on-quarter growth of 8.8% and a year-on-year degrowth of 22.5%. Now, let me come to a few business highlights for the quarter. Cyient signed a memorandum of understanding with UK-based defense technology firm Quintic-Q. Quintic-Q's Target Systems, QTS as it's called, to offer avionics products for its unmanned target systems. Cyient will provide advanced manufacturing and electronics engineering solutions to QTS range of unmanned air, land, and sea target systems from its facilities in India. We also extended the COE setup for John Deere in Hyderabad and Pune. We received Singapore Health Award 2019 for Cyient's efforts in promoting health and well-being of employees at the workplace. Very briefly, on the CSR front, we continue to support the 25 government schools. We provide education to over 18,500 underprivileged students. We continue to support 67 Cyient Digital Centers, CDCs, in and around Hyderabad, which cater to more than 25,000 children and 15,000 community members every year. We completed a batch of 600 community unemployment women. We completed training to a pilot batch of 600 community unemployment women in tailoring bakery beauty courses through signed urban micro skilling center for urban poor. We also distributed and planted more than 7,000 saplings around signed adopted schools and community as a part of the Haritaharam, a mega plantation drive in the state of Telangana. With this, I would like to hand over this call to Ajay, who will take you through the detailed financial performance for the quarter and the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohan. Let me start with giving a color to the revenue. As you would have seen in the results, we got a nice jump in the revenue between quarter one and quarter two. We have clocked $164.2 million of revenue. And also, if you see from the cross-currencies perspective, we had a headwind in the British pound, euro, and Australian dollars. That has taken away about 80 bips of growth. So if you see in constant currency, comparable number to 156.6 is about $165 million. That's the average for the last four quarters. So I think one of the concerns that, you know, are we getting back to growth get addressed in terms of at least getting to the average. And now our endeavor is in the coming quarters to not only sustain the average, but also get back to higher growth compared to where we were in the last year. So overall, in terms of constant currency, our growth is 5.7%, 4.9% in dollar. And in terms of the quarter, for services is 1.8% in dollar terms and 2.6% in constant currency. As you can see, we had good growth in communication. It's about 3.3% in constant currency. E&U business, energy and utility business, is showing good traction. We had in constant currency more than 10% growth there. In transport, in constant currency, we had more than 5% growth. Aerospace, we had a degrowth of 1.7% quarter on quarter. We did 47.6 million. DLM has clocked $23.8 million, which is about 27.4% growth quarter on quarter. So overall, as I said, we have delivered a growth of 6.4 years. Of course, we continue to be lower than where we were a year before. In constant currency, we are lagging by about 1.2% compared to the same quarter last year. Before I move to the other statements, let me update you. We have been talking about this cost optimization exercise that we are doing with large consulting firm. And I'm happy to report that, you know, we have got good traction on this. This revolves around improvement in margins on a sustainable basis by improving the cost of delivery and also improvement on SG&A cost. We have set ourselves an internal goal, and we have looked at our position for the full year, and we seem to be on track to achieve the full year target, and we are further working on some additional levers. We have also set up a sustainable workforce management group and a process to make sure that, you know, we continue to do the efficient resource deployment, which is one of the important levers in this whole exercise. We will be creating a sustenance center in the company, creating the KPIs, and make sure that we have the necessary support system created both for the business units as well as in the corporate to sustain this in financial year 21. In terms of the hedge book for quarter two, I would like to highlight there is no change in the policy. We continue to be 70% 12 months. Our exposure is about $135 million. About a year back, it was $127 million. And if you see on the chart on the right-hand side, we have gains of about 8 to 9 rupees compared to the spot rates today in British pound as well as on euro. We have about a gain of 4 rupees in Australian dollars, about 3 rupees compared to US dollar and about 2.5 rupees for Canadian dollars. That translates for the next 12 months about $8.5 million of forex gain at current spot rate. So with this background, in terms of the other income, I would say overall we have a change marginally of 18 million or about 2 crores. The treasury income is marginally lower. In terms of the forex gains, you will see that our position, if you look at the table below, for quarter one, our gap on dollar, for example, was less than 1 rupee. And for the current quarter, our gap is about 3 rupees. So I think the forward positions have improved. And going forward, at current spot rate, as I said, the gap is nice for us. So we should be able to continue to realize gains at current spot rate. Those benefits, I would say we have been talking about them. We are accounting them on cash basis, and we were always anticipating them more towards H2. Whereas in case of the last year, quarter two, we had some gains which were recorded in H1 and quarter two. So I think there is nothing to worry about it. For the full year, we are sure about having the other income equal to or marginally higher compared to the last year. In terms of the income statement, you have seen that we have a growth of about 10% in EBIT quarter on quarter, and our reported EBIT is 1110 million INR, that's 111 crores. Our net profit is up by, again, 8%. In 8.8%, net profit is up by 8.8%. And of course, year on year, we are down by 22.5%. As I said, some of it is also impacted due to the timing of the other income, and there is no concern as far as full year is concerned. Let me just explain to you on the right-hand side what has happened on the margin. Our cost optimization is working well. So between the cost optimization and the gain in the volumes, we gained more than 200 basis points. Another 50 basis points from the normal operational efficiencies. We gave our second tranche of wage hike, which was planned, similar to the last year, which has taken about 107 bips. And we also, as we explained earlier, we have also incurred one-time restructuring cost, which is a combination of the consultation fee and the amount that you spent in terms of execution of the restructuring. That's about 85 bips for the current quarter. So if you just see, we are trying to explain on the right-hand side, while our reported EBIT is 9.6%, if we exclude the one-offs in terms of the one-time cost optimization exercise cost, because we expect these benefits to continue into the coming year and the years thereafter, then our, and also if you look at the continue, despite some challenges in the current period, we continue to make our investments into NBA, which is charged off to the P&L. So if I add these two back, our like-to-like margin compared to the previous years will be more like 12.3%, which is a good growth of 105 bips quarter-on-quarter. And for services, if you see, this number is much better because services margin is roughly 150 basis points higher than the group margin. And the same thing, if you see quarter on quarter, excluding the one-offs, for services, it is up by 158 bips. From that perspective, I think the growth focus as well as cost optimization focus is helping us. And on the ETR, we are in line to have 22 to 23% tax for the full year as per our original expectation. And we have also provided a detailed bridge for your reference on what has happened in terms of the EBIT, this thing. We had the headwinds in terms of the wage hike and one-time restructuring cost. We had the benefits of cost optimization, volume gains, and operational efficiencies. Thereby, we have got almost 164 bips or about 1.6% improvement in the margin for the services level, which is a very good indication. On the cash side, I think we are back to our good cash generation. We have generated a cash of, the total cash available is 8641 million. And if you look at our cash flow, we have given the number with and without one-offs, 42.9% is the conversion. If we do not take out the one-offs, but if we see whichever are the items which are special investments, they, according to us, do not represent the correct free cash flow from the operations, and they are the deployment of the free cash flow. That is in terms of the investments into the long term, as well as the one-time restructuring cost. Our conversion is 51%. And if you see our DSO, especially from account receivables, has come down by about 10 days, and overall DSO has come down by 9 days. And we still feel in H2, we will continue a good traction on cash flow and DSO. With this, I will hand over to Krishna for providing us the business update.
Thank you very much, Ajay, and good evening, everyone, and thank you for your time. In terms of the business update, quickly on the M&A pipeline, it's continues to be a focus area, and we'll just say that we have nothing's changed in terms of what we're focused on. There's three deals in the pre-LOI stage, which we will continue to work on. In terms of corporate venturing investments, we did close one deal, which we announced, which is a investment into a cybersecurity company, which focuses on cybersecurity technologies for rail transport applications specifically. So the intent is that we're able to take the technology and the platform, the algorithms that this company Silas has, and we're able to integrate them into our offerings and sell them to our customers, and we see some very good traction on that already. In terms of the BU outlook, in aerospace and defense, the good news is there's still a lot of commercial aircraft backlog, which is there with all the large OEMs. And also defense is picking up because of the global geopolitical risks that are there. So as I previously said, our focus on this market is really the aftermarket MRO type of engineering and services, because while the demand is good, there's no new programs which contributes to design. So there's no new programs in the pipeline at this point, which means that the design piece is coming down, and we're seeing that for us, and we're seeing that in the market in general. But having said that, you know, I think we've done a reasonable job in terms of building our capability on the other areas that we're able to leverage off of. And while we had a small degrowth this quarter, we believe that, you know, at least we're able to contain a lot of that, and we will see growth coming into the future there. The communication industry, we will see, or what the industry is doing is there is growth in the industry. There's a lot of new technologies that are coming in, including 5G. But while 5G is coming in, we see that the deployment of 5G is going to be a little bit slow, because, I mean, the costs that are involved with the 5G deployments are very significant. And what our clients are telling us is that they will do it in a little bit more of a phased manner than, say, they did 4G, because they want to really look at the cost benefit of rolling out 5G. Because the 5G speeds are really beneficial only for certain applications, not necessary for all applications. So while we have a good offering and we'll continue to focus on it, we think the rollout will be a little tepid there, is what we're hearing from our clients. In energy and utilities, we believe that the industry is doing quite well. The commodity prices are doing well. Utilities industry is also doing well, because there's a lot of investments in things like distributed grids, renewable energy, etc. Our outlook also there, if you see, remains quite strong, and that's one of the big growth drivers for us this quarter, was the services business in energy and utilities, and we believe that momentum will continue into the future. Transport industry also is growing as an industry. Again, it's a very large industry, so the growth will be a little bit smaller just by definition. But we're also seeing, you know, transport has been a little bit of a static industry from a technology perspective. But we are seeing a lot of new stuff that is coming in, and the investment in Silas is really along these lines, because we believe rail cybersecurity, for example, all of a sudden becomes very important. And therefore, you know, with the new technologies being adopted, we have a... we have a pretty interesting play in that market. The portfolio BU remains quite tepid, both as a market and also for us. While there is a lot of growth in geospatial applications, where we play in that market has been a little bit of a challenge, and you will see that year on year we've had a degrowth in that business. So we're trying to manage it as best as we can, but we believe that that business particularly will remain a challenge for the rest of the year. The semiconductor industry also, from where we started off the year, the forecast then was the industry would degrow about 5%. Now the forecast is that the semiconductor industry will degrow 15%. We do see some impact of that on us, while we've been able to mitigate a lot of it because of the capabilities that were built on turnkey analog design, which is essentially the company that we bought in Belgium, and we've been able to integrate it into Cyan. Overall, in the larger digital semiconductor space, we see some significant issues. We believe we will grow in that business this year. The pipeline and the order backlog is there, but it will be a tepid growth in that business, because overall the business obviously is under significant pressure with a minus 15% growth. Lastly, medical tech and healthcare. That business is growing very well. There's a lot of new technology, again, just like rail that I talked about, that's been adopted into that business. And I believe we also have, actually, we've had a good growth story. If you look at it this quarter, there's a double-digit growth both quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year in that business. And we believe, you know, given that it is a smaller business, that will also continue to grow. So net-net, and if I may also sort of summarize what Ajay said, you know, the growth is back in the business. We're quite confident about the growth coming back into the business. Unfortunately, we did have, I would say, two down quarters, but we believe that having had those down quarters, or at least Q1 was a tough quarter, we've had, I'd say, flat two quarters, which is 3 and 4, and Q1 was a down quarter. But I believe that the growth has come back. We will continue to see this good growth momentum into Q3 and beyond. Q3, we will see good growth in the services business in spite of, I'm sure the question will be, you know, Q3 has the workday or the working day challenges. But in spite of that, we are actually seeing growth in the services business in Q3. It will be a small growth, but there will be growth quarter on quarter even in the services business, which I believe bodes very well for Q4, because once the capacity comes back in Q4, you will see that year-on-year Q4 will be a very solid year from a growth perspective. And what it will also translate to is from a margin perspective, we do see some good momentum, because a lot of the restructuring costs come Q3 and Q4, especially that we will still have some restructuring costs in Q3. But in Q4, the restructuring costs will also come back. So what I would say is, you know, we've had, you know, three, not the best, you know, not our shining moments for three quarters. Momentum is now back in Q2. It will continue into Q3, but Q4 onwards, you will see some good change in momentum and direction for the organization. So with that, I'll stop here, and I guess we'll turn it over to for any questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who wishes to ask questions, please press star, then 1. The first question is from the line of Harit Shah from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to get a sense of the, you know, relatively weak order bookings for the, you know, this particular quarter. So year on year we've seen a, you know, significant decline. So if you just give some sort of, you know, incremental color on that, it'll be quite helpful.
Sure. So year on year there is a decline, but what also happened is Q2 of last year was a very good quarter in terms of the order intake. Now, what we also need to look at is the, if you look at it, there's a number of orders, almost $20+ million of orders in Q2 of last year that were multi-year orders. So that order intake actually covered us for multiple years, which doesn't repeat, but by nature, it doesn't repeat again. So while we've had a challenge in the order intake in Q1, we believe, you know, if you look at the quarter-on-quarter growth, there's a decent growth, and that is reflective of the momentum that will carry in, because that order intake really converts into revenue going forward. So I'd say, you know, net-net, I'll say is that Q2 of last year was a very good year, and also because of the multi-year purchase orders that were there. Therefore, not necessarily the best reflection of what the order intake should be. But if you compare it to Q1, we are quite confident that the momentum is there for going forward.
Secondly, I just want to get a sense of the, you know, outlook in terms of, you know, margins maybe in the third and fourth quarter. So third quarter, you did say that there will be some further restructuring costs. You know, although, you know, I think, you know, you could have, you know, the tailwind of, you know, no wage hike impact. So how is this overall, you know, likely to play out as far as these margins are concerned?
So as far as margins are concerned, Harit, in terms of the restructuring cost, the program is continuing from quarter one to quarter four. So you will see the restructuring cost being incurred in each of the quarters. However, by the nature of restructuring cost, you always would see that the cost will precede the benefits. So in terms of what you should expect is, I think we should have a good margin in terms of quarter four to reflect the complete benefits that will start accruing in the next year. And to put it at a very high level, I would say if you remove the one-time restructuring costs and the investments that we are making, like-to-like margin from quarter four of last year to quarter four of this year, we expect 200 to 300 bps higher.
Okay, so that is adjusting for any one-time cost, right?
That is right.
Okay, good. Thanks. That was quite helpful. I'll come back if I have any further questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Shah from CGS-CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand, we had a lot of client-specific issue in the communication segment. With the growth being at 3.3% in constant currency, is it in line with your earlier expectation, or, and you believe that the growth could be further higher in the coming quarters as a whole? So what is the status update in terms of client-specific issue and the growth momentum going forward?
So I think what I'd say is, you know, the client-specific issues, I think, have been resolved. I think, obviously, we're not back to the old sort of levels of revenue with the client, specifically the client that we had an issue. But I think we, you know, all our large clients are now in a stable situation and have shown quarter-on-quarter growth. So we believe that, you know, we're not going to significantly accelerate the growth. But what I'm confident about in the comms business is now we will grow at this pace, maybe a little bit faster for the rest of the year and into the next financial year. So I think at least the good thing, and this is what I said last time, was the worst we'd hit in Q1. And that seems to be the case, because in most, I mean, obviously there are always going to be one-offs where there's some clients where there will be a further decline or increase, etc. But leave those aside. But at least in all our large clients, I think we've had some good stability and growth, and we see that continuing into the coming quarters.
Okay. And can you provide the same status update? Is there any other client-specific issue in any of the other segments, including aerospace, which we had one client-specific issue?
No, I'd say we are. There's a fair degree of stability in pretty much all our large clients. I think we've, you know, unfortunately Q1 came together with a number of specific issues with various clients, and that, you know, led to the kind of quarter that we had. But we believe that we're out of all of them. Again, not all of them are back into a significant growth mode or growth mode, but even where we've had an issue previously, we're at least stabilized, and we're seeing, like, in our aerospace business, we're seeing that, you know, we've hit the bottom in Q2, and we're seeing growth coming into Q3. And that's why I'm able to say that in spite of the challenges that we typically have with capacity in Q3 on the services business, still we will see growth because there is momentum behind these accounts.
Okay. Just a clarity in terms of restructuring costs. So I think if I'm not wrong, the restructuring cost for the cost optimization is on a risk-reward basis. So why we are calling this out as a one-off? So there should be some gain also, right, when we have made the payments as a whole. So just some clarity on the same.
So if I can take that, I think you are absolutely right. There are two parts. I think one is that when you look at especially the severance costs and other elements of it, they are quite heavy and quite upfront, whereas the benefits, realized later. Second, the whole program that we have run, as you rightly said, apart from having risk-reward model, is also on sustainability of it. So we come out with the saving based on the annualized run rate and pay for the cost on it. What we realize is over the quarter, and that's why I'm saying if you look at what margin will be available to us for the next year, will be without any restructuring cost, and the complete benefits of the exercise will accrue in quarter one, for example, and they will reflect in quarter four. So quarter four will still have the restructuring cost, whereas quarter one will not have the restructuring cost. So I think you are right. You should look at the overall margin. However, for you to look at what is our sustainable margin or what is our comparable margin to our other players, I think we thought we will give you both the perspectives.
Okay. So Ajay, is it fair to say in 3Q and 4Q, you will have restructuring costs, but there would be some benefits also, and net-net impact of that on the margins will not be a negative but could be positive? Because your presentation slide is saying that the benefits will start accruing from H2 of FY20.
So you are right. I think we will have the net savings, which will be positive.
In 3Q, 4Q itself, right?
That's right.
Okay. And just based on commentary on 3Q, when we say there would be a slight growth, are we saying on a Q-on-Q or on a YOY basis in the services business?
No, we're saying on a Q-on-Q basis.
Okay. I have more. I will come in a follow-up. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Jain from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. First is on the free cash flow statement you have given on this slide. So you are saying free cash flow conversion for us now is 43% prior to one-off. So this is now the recurring number that we should assume for 21, or how does this number work in terms of your targets?
So if you look at the number which is excluding the one-off, which are not going to be there next year, or the benefits of those investments will also accrue in the next year. So I would say 51% is the number you should look at for 21 and not 43 or whatever is that number.
51 is for services, right? So then you will have group conversion, which could be potentially at a lower number.
I think I cannot predict for 21, but I think overall...
On a normalized basis, sir, Q4 will also help, but on a normalized basis, what is this number going to look like?
So I am saying for the overall group, we are targeting 50%. As far as services is concerned, that also depends on growth. As we have discussed in the past also, I think if we have muted growth, we are targeting 50 to 60% conversion. If we have high growth, we are targeting 45 to 50% conversion.
Okay, and this normalized EBIT 12.5, I heard that you said 300 basis point margin expansion will happen once the exercise is complete. Is that correct?
I said yes, that since our baseline for this exercise was quarter four of last year, from quarter four of last year to quarter four of the financial year 20, we will have an improvement of 200 to 300 basis points on account of this exercise. And there will be restructuring costs which will also be there. So net saving will be lower than 200 to 300 basis points, but sustainable saving will be 200 to 300 basis points.
So Q4 normalized margin, you're looking at 15 to 16% EBIT, right?
So I would not give the number on the margin because margin also has number of variables in terms of the volume growth, what is happening on our investments, what is happening on exchange rate. So I would say that, you know, let's not talk of an absolute number. We are confident between quarter four and quarter four, this thing, it should be, I think this clear mathematics, the range of 100 is to take care of other variables.
Okay, and that should be the starting range for 21 broadly, because restructuring costs will go away, therefore you will revert, or your gap margin will be same as normalized margin. Is that fair?
Correct. That is right.
Last thing is on NBA. How much investment are we looking for it in 21? Any estimate?
So this year we are spending about 1.5%, which is significantly higher than the last year. We have still not, you know, we are reviewing the projects and taking a call based on what benefits will come. So it is a little early for us. So many of the projects, you are right, go into 21 as well. But right now it will not be right because we are keeping a very close watch in terms of the progress. So it will be a little early for us to say how much will be the investment next year. But there should be a good amount of benefits which should also start accruing in financial year 21. So the net headwind from that should be lower.
So just to add to that, I'll say this quarter actually, if you look at the order intake from solutions as we define them, which are really the sort of the newer types of businesses that we're going after, we actually hit our target. We had an internal target for it, and we hit the internal target for the first time. I'll say more importantly, there were 5 new projects that we sold for the first time. And just to give you a flavor, we sold an IoT project to a major mining company, which is essentially to retool or rejig their existing platforms with an IoT solution. And that will also turn into analytics solution for us in the due course. So that was a good example of taking an NBA project, an IoT device that was incubated in the NBA and monetizing it. Or the second thing is we also won a deal and will start supplying those components this quarter on additive manufacturing. Again, the first deal is small because it's plastic components, but we're also setting up an additive manufacturing facility in Florida this quarter, which will again translate to recurring revenue. So additive manufacturing was something that was also incubated in the NBA. We also have 2 other large deals that we won, which weren't incubated in the NBA, but directly in the businesses. One on intelligent distribution management systems for utilities, where a lot of the data can be captured automatically. And the second is around a quality tool that we built for a aerospace application, where a lot of things can be done automatically in workflow management, etc. So to Ajay's point, I'd say, you know, for the first time, we are actually seeing some significant order intake from our solutions. While we have invested a lot of money on those, we believe that the outcome is now happening, which is very, very gratifying.
So 1.5% is the investment in FY20, right?
20, yes.
Okay. And anything on CapEx, like setting up this facility and all, will it be like CapEx heavy, CapEx light? Earlier we discussed, I think, few quarters back that it may involve some CapEx.
We will have some CapEx, but the good thing with additive manufacturing is it's not intensive CapEx. I mean, it will be within our sort of normal CapEx. Anyway, the facility is already there in Florida. The building and all the associated stuff is there because we have the ability to make tools, prototypes and quick turnaround engineering in Florida anyway. So that facility is there. It's really the equipment. So you won't see, I mean, it won't be a significant amount from that sense.
So okay, if I can also add to?
Yeah.
Yes. So just to clarify on the CapEx, we have typically been talking of 3% CapEx. So I can tell you that CapEx, including any CapEx that is involved in NBA, because most of it or almost all of it is OPEX being put on the P&L, still our CapEx for the year will be between 2.5% to 3.5%.
Sir, last thing on DLM, like what is the kind of YOY growth we are targeting now? There is some change there?
I think we are looking at it on a quarterly basis right now, but we believe that we'll see some growth. We might not see the double-digit growth that we had originally anticipated, but we will see some growth in DLM. I think there's still some things that are evolving, so we're still trying to figure out where we'll end up with. But it's you know, the momentum is there. What we're also trying to do is manage through the kind of accounts that we want and we don't. So we're actually using this opportunity to give up some of the revenue that is not strategic or doesn't come at a high margin. So that's where we stand with DLM.
And utilization there would be close to 70-80%, or
in
for
DLM,
manufacturing unit.
It would be about 60-70%. Because I think the problem there is it depends on what you're manufacturing also. So there's a little bit of thing there, but we're at about 60-70%.
Thank you, sir. That's all. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhu Babu from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So if we see a modest growth in services business in 3Q, so most likely for the full year, services will see a decline YOY this year?
I think we are still working on the Q4 numbers, but we think that we have... With, you know, if you see modest growth also in Q3, that will give us some very good momentum into Q4. So we are still working towards a flat year. We have a line of sight to that. So we're working towards mitigating. I mean, we want to make sure that we don't decline. That's the first sort of objective. We will need to have a strong Q4 for that, but we do see a line of sight for that.
Second, sir, on communication. Was the traction in the Australian client this quarter, or how is the Australian client faring?
We showed quarter-on-quarter growth there, which means that at least I think we're out of the sort of the low point over there. But I would say, you know, I don't want to say there's significant traction back because of what has happened there. We'll take it one quarter at a time. Q2 was okay there. Q3 also looks okay. So we'll take it one quarter at a time, but at least I think the worst is over. But I don't want to say, you know, significant traction in growth because I don't think...
Because NBN, there's a lot of negative comments. So, I mean, so would there be any leakage further there, or you're just saying it's going to be more like a stable performance?
No, because the work that we're doing for our client is not NBN work anymore. It's for their own network.
Okay, okay. And just last thing on the... new business accelerator. So would this be helping us to land in some clients, as because this is more of a IT kind of thing, so would we able to win couple of new accounts because of this strategic initiative? I mean, it's more like a would that be, you know, enabling a perception premium and get into a couple of new accounts in the railways or aerospace? Would that be a possibility?
Absolutely, it would be like so one thing I'll clarify, it's not necessarily IT, right? I mean, there is a IT layer to it, but it's still premised on our ability to do product design and manage products and maintain products. So it's still engineering in that sense. I mean, there is an IT layer, but also obviously what we're seeing more and more is there is a convergence, or so there is some degree of convergence between pure engineering and IT. So that's something that we're cognizant of and working on. Now, you know, the IoT example that I gave you of a mining customer is a good example because this client is brand new for us, and the reason why we've been able to make the inroads there is because we came with a pretty unique offering. So we believe, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we will continue to focus on new clients there, not just the existing clients.
Yeah, that's what I was meaning in that, because these are some of the innovative solutions on the engineering side.
Right.
Would that help us get a perception premium and able to get a couple of new accounts, and after that would be able to cross-sell and, you know, gain a more stable business? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is the reason why, if, you know, again, you look at the IoT I talked about. IoT is just the first, but IoT is also one-off because, you know, you rejig the equipment, then what, right? But where we believe that the stability will come is because then IoT then parlays into analytics. And analytics is really around the maintenance and the management of the offshore rigs, or sorry, of the mining equipment, which is really where we believe it's a long-term stable engagement. So you're absolutely right. I think the technologies might give us the inroad, but then we will also figure out how to stay stable for a while there.
Okay, sir. And last one on the capital allocation. I mean, last year we completed the buyback in February, if I'm right. So I think currently the stock is at very depressed valuation. So would you look at that as an option again on March or April? I mean, any possibility on that?
See, I think it's too early to look at because I think, you know, very honestly, we feel quite bullish about our business. I mean, the stock is what it is, but we believe that, you know, there was a strategic intent or there was a intent of doing the buyback at that point. We did think that we had some excess cash that we wanted to return to the investors. That was the reason why we did the buyback. But at this point, you know, we believe that there is a lot of momentum back in our business. We believe that, you know, both for existing customers, there's a lot of things that we can do. We need to add a lot more capacity in certain areas. M&A is another focus area, and we're back to making sure that there's good focus there. You know, all those things coming together, I believe, you know, we will need the capital that we have. So we will, what you would have also seen is we've announced the sort of the regular dividend of 6 rupees a share. So we'll do the dividend. At this point, I wouldn't go the buyback route because I think there's good opportunities to deploy capital and there's need for capital and we have that momentum back in the business to say we want to go do those things.
Okay, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ishan Kothari from Pictet. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. This is Ishan. Two questions. One is on the...
Excuse me, this is the operator. Sir, may we request you to use the handset, please. Your voice is not very audible.
Sure. Yeah, the first question is around the restructuring part. Can you share some details around what you have exactly done in there? What kind of employees have been let go? And if any numbers you could share around that?
So if you look at the employee headcount quarter on quarter, it is down by about 185 people, roughly. I forget the exact number, but yeah, it's about that. Now, that is the, you know, that's part of this because obviously we've had growth quarter on quarter because there was also restructuring in the past, but we've had growth quarter on quarter and the fact that we've been able to do it with fewer employees and that will continue into the next quarter because even with the growth in the services business in the next quarter, we're not planning on large scale additions because, you know, we will optimize the employees. Who they are, again, it's across the board. It's really we've looked at performance fit. I think the HR team with the businesses, of course, have done a very comprehensive job of looking at where the value creation is happening and therefore we've looked at, you know, where there isn't value creation and not just from a delivery perspective, even from a sales and marketing perspective, I think we've had a very hard look at various things on, you know, what function, what value, what are the other ways of coming up with this value. So one is the people aspect. The second thing is there's also a lot of other indirect costs. For example, we've been able to restructure our office in Melbourne in Australia. You know, it was a large office for whatever reasons when the opportunity was there, etc. Now we've had to scale it down. Now we've had a one-time cost, for example, of about $300,000 there. But the savings is really going to be about $1.5 or $1.75 million over the next couple of years. So then there's that second category, which is the indirect spend that we're focused on, which is, you know, offices, leasing. We've done a lot around travel, auxiliary services like cabs and transport and all those things. So these are the two categories that we've actually done the restructuring costs have come in. Of course, there's other things like started to disengage with non-profitable customers or where the profitability doesn't meet our expectations, etc. I mean, there's another set, but those don't necessarily have a restructuring cost. These are the two things, the people and the the indirect cost where we have to bear the cost of restructuring.
Okay, and you're saying restructuring costs will continue in Q3 and Q4 also. So is there any kind of target there in terms of how big those costs could be?
I think Q3 will probably be in the same level as this quarter because we'll continue with some of the things. And we believe that Q4 it will start to come down. I think the full impact will be felt, or the full benefit, I'd say, will be felt only in Q1.
So there will be, Q3 will be at the same level, Q4 it will come down a little.
Okay, got it. And the other thing...
to clarify, it has two components. One component is consultant's fee, which is all across the quarters and stops after Q4. Second element is restructuring cost in terms of, the cost associated with the cost reduction. That tapers off the way Krishna explained, just to clarify that.
Got it. And the DSO has come down this quarter. Anything specific you have done to get there?
See, if you look at last quarter, we had said that we do have 100 crore plus of cash that we can release from our receivables. And our account receivables have come down. So if you see this reduction, most of it is from the receivables. We did have some spillovers in the last quarter. We also talked about some system issues. So I think that is what has been done, nothing extraordinary. So you should look at it, I think, H1 together, then you will get a good sense of both the DSO and the free cash flow. And I can promise you H2 will be better than H1.
So this is not the normalized level of DSO yet?
So I would say that there is still scope, to further take it to 90 in the next two quarters. So we'll be working on that goal.
Okay, correct. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav Dalal from Maybank. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions. One is on the ETR. How should one look at it? This quarter again, we were about 22.5. So what should be that number for the year and next year?
So if you look at the ETR, first, as far as current year is concerned, we had said it will be 22 to 23%. So we are going to be in this range, and some of the technicalities of computation, so you should not overly worry about swings between quarter and quarter, but it should be in this range. As far as next year is concerned, we are evaluating the new tax that has come. But obviously, on face of it, it looks like, especially for the services business, that the feature where we continue with the current incentives for the next few years is better for us, which means that, we will continue to be, at the current rates, which are lower than that 25%, which is the other option company can adopt.
Right. And in terms of subcontracting costs, how should one look at it?
I think we have been talking about subcontracting costs a number of times that, it's all about the mix of the business. I would say that in some of our businesses in communication, we are trying to reduce the revenue mix more towards, non-subcontracting. US, it continues. So I would say maybe marginally lower, but nothing significantly will change in subcontracting costs.
Right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajan Rajan from GeoJet Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, sir. Hello? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, my question is related to the employee count. Is it largely based on restructuring only, or is any specific other reasons for that?
No, it's mostly restructuring, and we're looking at the capacity that we have and the right capacity that we need, and we figured that, because of the whole exercise that we're undertaking in terms of efficiency, we were able to look at, exiting a few resources. Of course, there's also attrition, and we manage both of them together, that when there's attrition, we might not backfill. But the whole intent is because of the whole restructuring.
Okay. And then can we see an 18% kind of margin growth?
Sorry, we can't hear you.
Sorry. I'm in the historical trend, like 18% in 2014. So that kind of margin growth, then can we expect?
I think that's, we'll have to look at things. We've had, like I said, coming off where we are we're looking at things really from a one or two quarter basis, at least from an operating level. Obviously, from NBA and other things, we're focused on the longer term. So I'd say maybe it's a good conversation to have in a few quarters once things stabilize a little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mayank Babla from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you for taking my question. Sir, I just wanted your view on, you know, what is going on with the Boeing hearings that has been going on in the last 2-3 months, and how is that impacting Pratt & Whitney, you know, and in turn impacting our operations or our deals?
So I think, you know, it's what's going on with Boeing is obviously in public knowledge. I think it's not right for us to comment out other than saying that, you know, we had nothing to do with the particular program that's being questioned at this point, or at least nothing to do with the technology or the software that caused the problems in the program that's being talked about. I think, you know, we've talked about the impact that we had because of just the refocus of Boeing on some of the intermediate term issues versus new designs. And I think the impact has been baked in. I think we don't see any further impact on either Boeing directly, because they're also a client, or some of the others. So I think what's happened has happened. We don't, you know, we're hoping some of these things will get sorted out because, I mean, again, publicly they've said 737 will fly in probably Q1 of next year. We're just waiting for those things to stabilize, because we believe that some of the projects that have been put on hold will come back at that point.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the explanation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. PVR Mohan Reddy for closing comments.
Thank you very much for participating in our earnings call. We appreciate all of you taking time listening to us and asking questions. As Krishna and Ajay explained, I think looking at the future looks very bright. We think we'll probably have a lot more traction to our business in coming quarters. Thank you very much again.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Cyient, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.